Well, good evening. Summer's winding down. Tonight, our last in our series of Beyond Measure. A week from tonight, our communion time. I hope you come out and join us. It's always a special time. And then 2 weeks from tonight, all the studies kick off. Of course, ladies, you also have Wednesday morning 2 weeks from now, but I'm excited. We are preparing for the series of studies and the all kinds of things coming up, and so just good stuff. Jump on board. If you're not planning yet, we encourage you to think about it, really consider it. Come on, join us as we kick off in our studies for the fall. Kind of hate to use that word, fall. I like the summer. But I'm excited to be, can't think of it, yeah. But good stuff coming. Studies are coming. That's good stuff. Beyond measure. So welcome to each of you tonight. Beyond measure, love beyond measure is our last focus in this series. You know, as we begin our time together tonight, I feel very much in the place that Charles Spurgeon felt when he made this statement. He said, "If there is one subject more than another upon which I wish ever to speak, it is the love of Christ. But if there is one which quite baffles me and makes me go back from this platform utterly ashamed of my poor, feeble words, it is this subject. This love of Christ is the most amazing thing under heaven, if not in heaven itself." I can relate to that. Spending some time in the Word, studying and all for our time tonight and thinking about God's love. This whole book is a love letter, isn't it? And so I thought for tonight we'd read through the entire thing. And we no. Like he said, even the Prince of Preacher said he often walked down from the pulpit saying, "Man, I didn't do that justice." Because God's love, how do you even come close to it? But we're going to take a look at it and consider some things about God's love tonight. Let's pray. Father, we rightfully sing words about your love, expressing just how vast and wonderful your love is. We sing words like higher and beyond and deeper. It's just our human words trying to capture just what we know, what we've experienced of your love. And so, Lord, help us tonight just to kind of soak in your love and to heart consider your love, Lord. But thank you for it all. Thank you that you want us to know you in this way, want to know this about you. Thank you that truly you've given us this, your love letter. Thank you for the effort you make to really define love in its correct way. Just saying, Lord, lead us through tonight and let it be just a profitable time now as we spend a portion of time in your word. May you speak to us of your love beyond measure. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do you start? What verses do you pull up about God's love? Well, I've led to a couple, but I wanted just to mention, we read verses like John 3:16 that gives us God's motive. For in there, we know the verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And it's a verse that tells us that God loves us so much that he would do that. That he sent his only begotten Son for us. I mean, how much is represented by that little word, "so"? When it says God so loved, think about it, just that. How much does it mean when he says he loves you so much? Really more than we'll ever fully explore, more than we'll ever exhaust, we'll ever tap out God's love. See, God's love isn't just a quantity. It speaks also of a quality of love, a type of love that we never knew until we experienced God's love. In the beginning, God made man, and man experienced God's love there in the garden, man and woman together. And it was just something that's happening, but sin separated it. And all down through the ages, people missing that love, looking all around, looking for love in the wrong places. Meanwhile, God in his love seeking man, calling out to man. Because that's the kind of love it is. It's an amount beyond measure. if you will, and it's a quality, a type that we only know in Him. For God so loved the world. And we know, of course, the Greeks had different words for love. And we often like to make the point that when it says, for God so loved the world, that it's in words like that or uses like that that we learn of the Greek word agape. Agape being that word that was in existence at the time, but really wasn't used much. But really, the Bible took it and defined it. God's agape love. And agape, so we know it means an unconditional love. But as you also know, I try to sometimes point out, that's really not the word agape specifically for God so loved the world. It's agapeo. What's the difference? It's the verb. It's the verb form of God's love. What am I saying? God's love isn't just some kind of a out there kind of thing, like, well, it's there somewhere. No, it's a verb. It moved Him to act. God's love is such a nature that it moved Him to act. Love, the love of God, is an action word for us. Now, if just for a moment, think of some of the verses about God's love, and again, just you go to your concordance or whatever and see all of them. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. 1 John 4:9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:8. For God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love, look at the type of love, behold, look, at the type of love, the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. I read these particular verses as an example of something. It's not like it's unknown to us, we all know it, I'm stating the obvious, but just a good reminder. As you read verses like this, notice how God's love is often attached to a description. And that description often includes a demonstration. If you go back to those verses, if you were to look at them, we read words like, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And this is the love of God was manifested. God's love was displayed toward us. How? He sent His Son. Romans 5:8 said, but God demonstrates, again, makes it known to us. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner, look at the kind of love it is, that it would bring us to the point that we could be called the children of God. So God's oftentimes in His Word, when He tells us about His love, He makes a point to tack a description next to it. And oftentimes, like I say, that description includes or points out that He demonstrated in some way. Again, it was an action. But let me just suggest, and just a thought, might not that fact that God often attaches to His declaration of love an actual description or a demonstration of it, might that not at least partly be because without the description, without the demonstration, we wouldn't know God's love as He wants us to know it. We'd be back to limiting it to what we know of love. And God's love is nothing like the world's love, of course. But if we didn't have His demonstration of it, His descriptions of it, we might say, well, I guess it's like... And unfortunately, some of us haven't had great experiences maybe with a parental love or something. So God makes a point to say, let me define this for you. First of all, taking a word and showing us that He's talking about an unconditional, unending, unfathomable, unmeasurable love. But again, we wouldn't know that without this. This is so precious for so many reasons. One is because it helps us understand what He's talking about in this love that He has for us. I mean, think of all the aspects well, we really can't, but the best we can. Think of all the aspects of God's love. You know, they talk about the facets of a diamond, and you can look at all the, I mean, that's nothing compared to the facets of God's love. And maybe that's because of the nature of God's love and how awesome it is and all, maybe that's why Paul says what he does in Ephesians 3. Turn to Ephesians 3 tonight with me. We're going to camp there. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. Tonight, I am led to just soak in for a little bit and consider Paul's prayer that we might know the unknowable love of God for us. If you were here Sunday, you know we did a very different thing. We showed a video with Pastor Chuck sharing. And it was talking about the importance of the Word of God and how we study the Word. Well, in the midst of that video, he used the point of talking about the book of Ephesians, seeing how chapters 4 through 6 he talk about our walk in the Lord, our response to the Lord. But he also made the point, but you can't do that without first knowing the riches that are ours that Paul talks about in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians. Well, as we get to the end of chapter 3, he's kind of wrapping up those his descriptions of the riches we have in Christ. And he's going to get ready now to begin to say, therefore, walk worthy of it. Walk in this way. Order your life in this way. But as he gets down to talking about all these riches that are ours and all the inheritance and all that we have, verse 14, he prays for them, and it's a prayer for all of us. Let's read it. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees, in other words, I pray, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, how much is that? to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, notice the role of the Holy Spirit in this, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that means move in and make himself at home, through faith, that you, and here it comes, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Books are written on this. Tonight we're just going to scratch the surface, but I pray it encourages all of us to think about this. Paul prays after praying, explaining how the Lord, praying the Lord would grant us according to the riches of his glory, etc. But getting down to our focus verses, verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell, again that means to take up residence, not just take up residence, but to make himself at home. That he would be able to make himself at home in your heart. That you'd have no closed off rooms. There'd be no walls up in an air in your life, but he'd have free reign in your whole life, in your heart. They may dwell in your hearts through faith. Take him at his word. Just as you're saved by faith, to take his love at his word. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded speaks, of course, of being anchored. A tree is only as strong as it is rooted. If its roots are down deep and drawing in the soil and all. They should be rooted and grounded. Grounded speaks of a foundation, a solid foundation. So I pray that you'll have your roots down deep. I pray that you'll be solid, that you'll have a great foundation. In what? In God's love. In love. And then Paul embarks upon trying to describe it. Trying to describe the vastness of God's love. Verse 18. That we might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, and depth, and height. Paul's prayer, that we may be able to comprehend. The Greek word that's translated comprehend there in our New King James means to lay hold of so as to make one's own, to take possession of it. It doesn't just maybe mean to have an intellectual grasp of it, but to really lay hold of this love. By faith, really reckon it to be so, because it is so. So it means to apprehend it, to really lay hold of it. To lay hold of what? What am I really supposed to grasp, to be rooted and grounded upon? with all the saints, that's all of us, the width, the length, the depth, and the height. The width of God's love. How wide is God's love? Wherever God is, His love is there, and God is everywhere. The width. God's love is wide enough to include every person everywhere. What's the length of God's love? God's love is long enough to last throughout all of eternity. What's the depth of God's love? God's love is deep enough to reach the worst sinner. As some people like to kind of change the translation, but it's fine, and that is that God's love reaches to the guttermost. The translation of uttermost, down to the guttermost. There's no one so deep that God's love can't reach that person. And the height of God's love. God's love is high enough, well, to take us to heaven. God's love lifts us up, for we are seated in heavenly places. To come to really understand, any understanding of the dimensions of God's love, we have to come back to the cross. God Himself says, here in His love, and He says it's demonstrated in that, in the cross. H.A. Ironside, a Bible commentator, he recounts this story. He says, quote, when Napoleon's soldiers opened the prison of the Inquisition, in an underground dungeon, they found the skeleton of a prisoner. The flesh and clothing had long since gone, but the remnants of an ankle bone with a chain attached to it were still there. On the wall, they saw cut into the rock with a sharp piece of metal, a cross. Above the cross in Spanish was the word for height, and below it, the word for depth. And on one arm, the word for length, and on the other, the word for breadth. As that poor prisoner of so long ago was starving to death, his soul was contemplating the wonder of God's purpose of grace. And to him, the figure of the cross summed it all up. The length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. Commentators are generally in agreement that these four dimensions are used by Paul to really give the general idea of the vastness of the love of Christ. It's not saying that you can actually go out and get a yardstick and measure how wide it is, but rather it's simply Paul's way to try to capture that God's love is everywhere. That's the idea of including all four dimensions here. And that as we lay hold of God's love in all of its dimensions, in each of those directions, it will lead us to the knowing of verse 19. And this is a real pivot point. Look at verse 19. After saying that we'd be able to comprehend, lay hold of, really appropriate it, what's the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, of course, we read that in our English translation, and you go, wait a minute. He's praying that I could know that which he says can't be known. How's that going to work? To know the love of Christ, which really passes knowledge, he says. Remember, the first know there is our good old friend. What's the Greek word? Gnosko. And that's a crucial word that comes up a lot in Scripture. It doesn't mean to just intellectually know something. Gnosko means to experientially know it. It's not to know something in theory. It's not just to intellectually know it. It's to actually have experienced it. So he's saying, he's praying that you might lay hold of it. How? By experientially knowing, experiencing God's love. It's to heart know it. It's to have it settled. As we often say, I can intellectually know that the bridge will hold me, but only if I step out on the bridge can I really say, Now I know the bridge will hold me. I could stand off and say, I know that to be so, but it's just intellectual. But when standing on it, you can say, now I know that I know. Do you know that you know? He invites us to know that we know the height and the depth and the length and all of God's love. So he's saying he really wants us to understand this, not to just abstractly know about it, but to really grasp it and then to go on and experience it. Keep in mind, as you grow in this love, that it surpasses knowledge. We'll get more in that in a moment. But one commentator, Kenneth Wiest, if you guys ever had a chance to do any serious study, you might include putting Wiest 4-volume set, his word studies in the Greek New Testament and all. It's perfect for anybody who, like myself, if you don't know the Greek, he does such an able job of helping us study and really understanding the word there and what it means and all. Just, I really encourage you to consider Wiest. But he puts it this way, quote, no matter how much the saint experiences the love of Christ, yet there are oceans of love in the great heart of God that have not been touched by his experience. So I can stand on the shore and say, well, I know that ocean's wet, but I know on a hot day it'll be refreshing. I can know all that. Or I can dive in. So that's what Paul's saying, dive in. Now, I will never explore the whole ocean. No one could do that. And yet that's far less than God's love. So on one hand, you can't experience all the ocean, but you can know the ocean. You can know what it's like to be out in that ocean. You can know the beauty in there and the fish and you, all those things. And so you begin to grow in, you begin to experientially know it. But he said, but just know this, we'll spend an eternity exploring God's love. The Bible Exposition Commentary adds this. It says, but there is a paradox here. It says, Paul wants us to know personally the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So he's saying there are such dimensions to God's love that in the end they really can't be measured, it says. But the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, really, he says, this commentator is saying, it parallels, back in verse 8, he prays that we can know the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's the same idea he's saying again here. Search it, know it, get to know it, but always know you'll never tap it out. So that's the paradox. Christianity is full of paradoxes. And one is we're invited to know a love we'll never completely know. But that's okay. It's part of the whole journey. As I said as I began our time, the Bible is a love story. From the very beginning, and woven all through its pages, we see the heart of a God who loves us, seeks us, does what it takes to draw us to him, all of that. And it's of God's love for each one of us personally. It's a Bible that speaks of the beyond measureness of God's love. From creation, think of what God didn't need to create man for himself. God is complete and whole. But rather, he made a creation that we might experience that love. We might have fellowship with our Creator. So from the very creation account on, all the way through, to the cross, to whatever lies ahead, for every believer, it's all rooted in the love of God. But it's true, and that makes it, it's truly beyond measure. But it's ours. It is secure. It's ours for the exploring and the knowing. Remember, knowing means experiencing. It means to experience it. It's ours for the experiencing. Let me ask you something. What do you think of when you think of God's love? When you think of God's vast love, anybody would be so bold? What word, or maybe just a brief phrase, comes to mind? Now, you got to be nice and loud. But what comes to mind if I say, hey, what do you think of anything of God's love or the vastness of his love? What do you think? Raise your hand. Somebody raise your hand. Anybody want to tell me? Go for it.
Awesome, everlasting.
Awesome and?
Everlasting.
Okay, amen. Perfect sacrifice. Yeah, for all demonstrations of it. Bob?
I think of the cross.
You think of the cross. Justly so, because that's what God points to. He was here in his love. You want to see love, look at the cross. No man would ever think and be bold enough to think of that one. To think of him paying. God is just. He can't wink at sin. So what's going to be done for man if we're going to dwell with him? He wants us to dwell with him, but he can't just say, don't worry about it. Something's got to be done. And so he comes and he dies for, takes upon him the most heinous thing. But remember, ultimately, we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners, born sinners. Therefore, we can't work it off. We can't offset it. We can't have the scales tip in our direction on our own. So it's a love that says, I'll pay that. I'll pay for the most heinous, evil thing if that person would just cry out to me. A goal for this summer has been to help us think about and encourage us all to sink in the beyond measure of some things that God has for us. By the way, can anyone name the topics that we covered this summer that we said are beyond measure? Can anybody, besides tonight, if you say love, that's no fair. But what's some other topics that the Lord led Joel and I to focus on? Peace, beyond measure. There was eight of them. Let's see, we got two already. What else? What's that? Faith? Strength. There you go. Thank you for working with me. My ears. Strength.
Ability,
yeah. Wisdom, grace, hope, burden. I spoke on burden beyond measure. You're like, my, what? Remember? Burden beyond measure to drive us to the cross and the role of it. Peace beyond measure, ability, strength, and love. Now, having covered those eight, I guess that's all there are. I guess that we just kind of tapped it out. That's why we only did eight for the summer. That's all. No, of course. And of course, we covered every one of these exhaustively. In our 20 to 30 minutes up here, we've tapped it out. Nothing left to say. Of course, I'm just being, you guys are being very gracious, just being facetious. Just scratching the surface. Just trying to whet our appetites. Just to remind somebody. God's... And none of those things exist at the expense of any of the other things. God is fully who he is in all those ways. And these are just some of the things, of the many attributes and the riches that we have in Christ. So many things. So the summer goal was just to kind of encourage us in this, consider it, soak in it, whatever the Lord might want to do to apply it. But remember, we will never tap out his riches. Again, we would be able to measure the ocean better than if we tried to ever measure God's limitless supply for us. Good old Charles Spurgeon again. Spurgeon spoke in England, and they get some pretty cold weather in England, they tell me. Haven't been there, but I can picture it. And I don't know if it was actually going on at the time he was speaking, but they recorded him saying this one time. Spurgeon said, "Out in the harbor lies ships laden with goods. But the rivers are frozen over and can't get in to the cities where they're needed." And he said, don't let our lives be like that. Don't let God have ships laden with treasures but can't get in because of the ice of our hardened hearts, prideful hearts, distracted hearts, unbelieving hearts. Pray that God would cause his warmth and his love and the Holy Spirit to break up the ice, that the ships laden with his riches can find harbor, can come in and make itself at home in you and me. Our text tonight in verse 16 points out the Holy Spirit is a part of all this. We know the Bible teaches us that love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. For I know sometimes you might say, well, I don't feel God's love today. Thank God it's not just a feeling, it's a fact. And that's the idea. Receive the fact of His love by faith every day. Thank God it's not based on whether I've been good or not, deserve it or not, that I feel it or not. It's a fact every day. And if I will abide in Him, dwell in Him, that fruit does grow. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the first one being love. It tells us that love is poured out into the believer's heart by the Holy Spirit. So it comes back to the faith, the trust. So remember, it's not a feeling, it's a fact. Believe Him. Take Him at His word. What's the call to us? What's the invitation? That He would grant us, according to the riches of His grace, riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit, through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, there it is, faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to gnosko, to actually experience the love of Christ, which passes, really, being able to fully grasp. To the end, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. May the Lord lead us and help us more and more experientially lay hold of God's awesome love. You guys ready to close it out, song? Come on up. If you need a prayer tonight, seek out Joe, myself, one of the prayer partners, lots of leaders around here. Stay for fellowship as the Lord might lead. And let's just celebrate His love. Let His love work in us and through us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You love us. Not that there's something inherent in us that drew that love out, but rather while we were yet sinners, You sent Your Son to die for us. That You've loved us all along. That is rooted in who You are, Lord. It's rooted in Your great love for us. So we thank You for that. And Your love has changed everything. And so may You find us a people abiding, receiving, resting upon, rejoicing in, celebrating Your great love. And may You always get all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.